This audio is brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your local agent and good neighbour. Alicia has got you covered with personalised service and reliable coverage for all your insurance needs. Call or stop by her office on Hart Street in Buffalo and see how she can help you save and protect what matters most to you. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
Session. So the work session the Wednesday before our regularly scheduled meeting, at a recent training we learned that that's a special meeting of the board, whether we call it a work session or anything else. And so hear public comment at the same time we're doing all of our homework throughout the rest of that week. We can hear those ideas, share them, and then have time to look into them and do any research, ask for any stuff we need. So that was my original plan for this evening, but as we get into additions and accept. It's okay.
I'll get
it. Chris, did you have a motion you want to make?
Yes, with the large crowd we have tonight, people probably wanting to get home and feed families, I would make a motion that we move public comment back up to its original spot for this evening.
Okay.
Second.
Which would that be, D, under the regular session?
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Chair. But
yes.
To try your idea, you know, this would be, you know, kind of warn everybody that you
yes.
would like to do this.
Starting at the next meeting, we'll put public comment at the end, and hopefully we'll be talking about things coming up at the meeting to follow. So there will be public comment open at the work session special meeting and public comment at the end of each board meeting. But that will give us some time. If we have a comment that we feel needs research or studied up on, we'll have time to do that before we sit down at the meeting to take action. So, anyway, starting next month, public comment will be the last thing on the agenda, not the next. Anybody got any other changes or additions to the agenda tonight?
I make a motion to accept the agenda with the changing of the public comment. We already have the motion. Sorry.
Okay, so we got a motion to make the change, nothing else to add?
Got it.
Okay, all in favor of changing the agenda to move public comment to item D, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Okay. Now, Jan, if you would please.
Okay,
motion to accept.
We have
it. We are
oh, I just thought we accepted the change.
No,
so we're ready for public comment.
Right,
yes.
Public
so
comment.
Public comment.
First, Corey Arnold. Yeah, but
3 minutes.
3 minutes, and I will set a little countdown.
All right. Thanks for moving that up. I appreciate that. Again, my name is Corey Arnold, mother of two girls who both play soccer, one being an upcoming BHS girls soccer player. Thank you again for allowing me to voice my concern. I was really hoping I wasn't going to have to address this concern tonight. I came here very hopeful to hear of the announcement of a new girls soccer coach at the high school. It appears that there hasn't been a hire for that position yet. It looks like the position is still open on the website. And I checked the agenda, and there was nothing on the agenda to announce that new hire. Ron Glasig, former BHS head girls soccer coach, resigned from this position back in May. The job posting hit the website on May 21st and is currently still up. Nearly 4 months have passed, an entire summer of team soccer camps, workouts, team activities has been lost. I've been patiently waiting for the last 4 months, eager to hear of a new hire, applicants, or really any information as to where the program is headed, and I have not heard anything. And I decided it was finally time to speak up and possibly ask some questions. I had a brief conversation with Ryan Mader at the freshman orientation August 19th, 3 weeks ago. When I asked if they found a coach yet, he replied that the summer had been very busy and that they hadn't had any time. He stated that they hoped to hold interviews and have a hire by the next board meeting, which is today, and evidently that hasn't happened. And do we even know if there is any applicants? It's just a valid question and a concern from a parent who has a genuine interest in seeing this program become a success. I have at least the next 8 years to be a part of the BHS girls soccer program, so I am a bit concerned about the future of the program. I feel like the issue has clearly taken a back seat to what the athletic department deems more important. To my knowledge, not a lot has been done to even try and find a coach. There's no communication and not a lot of transparency about the hiring process and where things are at. I can assure you there are plenty of girls out there that have worked their tails off and deserve to know if they even have a coach for next year, or better yet, if there is even going to be a soccer team at the high school. Or will they just end up having a coach who has been chosen simply to just fill the void? With the motto that we heard from Ryan Mader at the team meeting before school started, the freshman orientation, one team, one community. That was his motto. Why doesn't the entire community know about this need for the head girls soccer coach? I've talked to plenty of people in the community that are simply unaware. Why not put it out there, advertise to the best of your ability, try to attract qualified, experienced, and a willing coach? Maybe there really hasn't been any applicants. I don't know. But that's the question to ask. If there hasn't been any applicants, why not? Possibly get the community involved. Ask them for help. There are plenty of families around town that have a vested interest in the BHS girls soccer program and would love to help in any way, my family being one of them. Why not seek to find the best, most qualified individual for the position? The girls deserve to know. They need to know. The parents and the families also need to know. The program deserves some attention promptly from administration. Someone needs to keep some closer tabs on this and see this hire through the end. I ask you to simply put yourself in the kids' shoes as a young student athlete, and the uncertainty of having a coach for your next season is heartbreaking for these athletes that have a huge desire to play. And this goes for really any sport, not just the soccer team. As I mentioned before, I plan to be here and involved for at least the next 8 years. My hope is that the administration finds it within themselves to bring this issue to the top of their to-do list and work together to find a coach who knows the game, cares about the athletes, wants to help improve the program, and has a strong desire to win before it's too late.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Next up, Laurel Foster. Same deal. I'll set a timer, 3 minutes.
Okay,
thank you.
We are here to inform the community of Mayworth. Parents are here to inform this elected board of an issue with our bus route, an issue which we have been communicating with the administration about for several years. It has been a learning process and taken much of our time. Let me provide some brief background. The Mayworth route to school is traditionally its own separate route, which took about 15 to 20 minutes from bus stop to the school. However, a number of years ago, it was combined with the north route and passes right through KC before going north, creating an artificially long route. So a 20-minute route became a 45-minute route. We have been told that this is not a very long route for the district and not over the limit, which misses the point. We have an unfairly long route twice a day, not because we live far away from the school like other kids with long routes, but because the route is combined. We have been told this is quite common in the district, so we should not be concerned. When we tried to have this changed several years ago, we were told we don't have enough kids to have our own route. So we waited a couple of years until there were more than enough, plus more coming each year, but then we're told we don't have a driver. So next we said we will help you find a driver. It soon became apparent as to why the district can't seem to find drivers. First of all, the position advertising could not be more obscure, and terrible marketing in an age of social media and other online marketing. Secondly, it is hardly worth someone's time to receive the $20 starting wage, well below any other CDL driver, for 2 hours a day while tying up your day at the beginning and end of the day, especially with a commute into KC. In addition, benefits are not provided to route drivers unless they meet the 30-hour threshold, which means that unless they also work at the school in a low-paid position between route times, they have no benefits. While we all like low taxes, we don't think it should be at the expense of our working-class district employees who perform some of the most important jobs in the district. So next on our journey, we were told, well, even if you get a driver all ready to go and onboarded, there's no guarantee you will get your own route, and we will use them where we want. The district also touted their increase in wages, but if you still can't find drivers, isn't that irrelevant? Another thing we learned recently after doing the math is that our current driver, whom we all love, would lose her benefits if the route was split because she would probably no longer meet the 30-hour threshold. So of course we don't want this and should have been told this immediately when we were pursuing this issue several years ago. We then asked, could we at least switch the route in the morning so that both routes only have a long route once a day? Currently, Mayworth kids have a long route, both AM and PM, even though on other past combined KC routes, it was always switched. So each direction, North and Mayworth, would have only one long ride per day. We were refused a simple, reasonable request and told that if we did this, we would have to make it fair for other districts in the district. To that, we responded that to make it fair for the other districts in the district also, what's the big deal? Another time we were told, well, you are supposed to follow this procedure to talk to people, this hierarchy, but then when nothing happens, when we go up the ladder, we are told, follow the procedure, which we just did. What has been particularly disappointing about this whole process of conversations and meetings is the moving goalposts throughout, the noncommittal answers and vague answers, lack of follow-up, and then the robotic repetition of policy. After our last meeting, we received an email that basically cut and paste policy that had almost nothing to do with where we are in this process and what we are actually requesting. This is particularly frustrating when you look at the amount of money being spent on everything but getting kids to school, supposedly the top priority for the transportation department, but per their own policy. So in conclusion, at this point in this process, we are here to request the following of this elected board, the board that we elect to represent us. We request that the Mayworth North Route be changed in the following way. Our proposal was and is that the bus proceed out the North Route first in the morning for several reasons. There are more kids out Mayworth than North and more coming. There are more younger kids and more coming out Mayworth. There are longer and more connecting routes to the bus stops at Mayworth than North, so their drive times are actually even earlier in the morning. Mayworth, unlike the North Route, has several riders who play junior high sports, so would not benefit from a shorter PM route. Finally, more so than the North, the Mayworth community is in agriculture, and it is much more difficult in the morning for them to drive their child to school in order to mitigate the long day for their child, and then reverse the order after school. This would create a first-on, first-off standard, which has been used before. Interestingly, even after we proposed this scenario in a meeting, it was reinterpreted back to us in the opposite order of what we proposed. Instead, we would hope the district would rely on our knowledge of the people and places of this community to inform their decision. We would also humbly suggest that you increase driver pay and lower the benefit threshold and create more effective online advertising. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. That's the only two I've got. Any other public comment?
We need to sign on.
That's typical, but
okay,
you got something?
Well, it just is I have a granddaughter who's on this route, and she's a first grader this year, so she had to put up with this all last year as a kindergartner. And I did teach primary school for many years.
Do you want to come up and introduce yourself, tell us who you are, where you live, and we'll start.
I'll just be real brief here.
Okay.
But my name is Liz Graves, and I was a teacher in Johnson County for 27 years. And my beginning experience was at Billy Creek School, so I had kids who rode the bus quite a while there. And I can remember I had these kindergartners at the end of the long day, because they went all day, they couldn't even open the door to go home. I had to make sure I could open the door for them. So I can just say it is too long of a day for these young kids to be riding the bus nearly 2 hours after they put in an 8-hour day. It's just too long for them. And I think it isn't going to provide the best education for them if they're overly tired. So I just think we want the school district to work with us and to be reasonable, especially for these little kids. It's way more important for them than it is for the junior high or high school kids. And Mayworth right now has a bunch of little kids. So I just ask that you listen to them and make the best educational choice. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Any additional public comment? Hearing none. Next up, consent agenda. We had this one pretty good at the work session. Are there thoughts or ideas on consent agenda?
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
A second.
Got a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented. Any discussion from the board?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Martin.
I have a question. I think maybe Connie, you can answer this one. Sorry.
That's fine.
Okay, so on the consent or on the warrants, the Mitch Craft, is that a yearly thing that we're paying him? There's two different ones.
So it is a yearly contract.
And how long are we with him? What's the goal? Is this like a forever or with Mitch Craft or what is?
I'm going to say it's part of professional development. So if we're going to stay committed as a professional learning community, some of the training he's doing with the board, some of the things you're seeing in there, those PLCs, the administrative coaching. So there's a lot of protocols when we talked about the teacher evaluation system and that's crosswalks. So I don't think it's a one-shot deal. So he provides this training throughout the state. So, but what you're seeing is a contract that's summing up what we're doing with the ESSER funds, but it is an annual piece that with Mitch, so we ask. So usually that's that PD piece for professional learning communities, a training with you requested as a board of trustees working with that piece. It's also the teacher evaluation training. It's the new principal induction program that he's met with several of those as we kind of bring that. So it's going to change yearly. It's probably not going to be as extensive as you see now, especially we have, three administrators that are going through some training with him right now, the PLC walks, the evaluation walks, or leveling that goes. So it's going to look different. But to say it's he's done in the district, I would hope he's not done in the district because he is providing some of the same training statewide.
Okay.
Marcia, also, you talked a little bit about on Wednesday, ESSER ends on September 30th, and so we have to cut those checks now for the whole year because the grant allows us to go through June of 25 on the contract.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, first off, I want to thank you guys for public comment. I hope administration takes a look at it to answer your questions. Secondly, Mr. Chairman, under the isolation request, we're just doing a blanket, I guess, okay with it. In the past, we have always listed who was getting isolation requests. Is there a reason we changed that?
We were still waiting on some paperwork. And so we just got if you want to look at them, I've got them right here.
So I'm okay with doing a blanket, but yeah, I think the board should see who's getting them. Can you load that and send it to us at some time?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the consent agenda? Hearing none, all in favor of approving the consent agenda as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Okay, next up, action items. We have the one, policy revision, first reading for Section D. This is the audit that we had by WSBA.
I make a motion to approve the WSBA revisions and recommendations of Section D.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Discussion from the board. Hearing no discussion, all in favor of approving policy revision A as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Okay. General reports from the principals. Anybody got a question for principals?
We can jump into the spotlight.
So we're going to jump into the spotlight, and then afterwards, we can ask if there's any other questions. Okay.
Fair enough.
So KC is the spotlight of the month.
Okay, I have my middle school team. They're going to put on a great presentation over problem-based learning and speak to you a little bit about their learning themselves that they went on this summer.
I go. Well, thank you for having us, and thanks to my team for jumping in whenever I have crazy ideas. So, if you look at the TV, you'll see that we do have a couple missing people tonight. Tristan Allen and Sherry Coe were unable to make it. But at the middle school level, we've really tried to commit to problem-based learning, and this is something we've been working on for years. And putting together. So last year, we kind of started the process a little bit. There's a definition if you don't know what project-based learning is. It's a teaching method in which students learn by actively engaging in real-world and personally meaningful projects. So this is not textbook learning. This is not something I can just download off the internet. This is something we work on as a team to build projects just for our students.
Hooked to the standard.
So last year, we did a Thanksgiving dinner where the students planned, bought groceries, and prepared for Thanksgiving dinners for our local seniors. It incorporated they bought, they cooked, they presented the dinner for these people in our community. And while they were preparing that meal, they were doing fractions and recipes, as well as when they had to buy it, they had to figure out how much do I need to buy in order to feed X amount of people. In ELA, invitations and recipes they made in my sixth grade class, they made invitations to those people, and then we went to the bunkhouse and they delivered those. I felt that it was important for them to hand deliver those and invite them and come. And that meant a lot to the kids, and it meant a lot to the people there at the bunkhouse. In science, they did the science of cooking and art. You can see a part of the table, and then there's going to be another picture where they did a lot of decorations. We did the whole middle school wing and decorated that up, had an amazing table, and then the kids served. And it was just a really great time, and they put in a lot of work, and we do want to thank Friends Feeding Friends for sponsoring that for us.
They helped fund our
meals.
And the kids also coordinated all the transportation, because we had some in wheelchairs, we had some with walkers, and they coordinated all the transportation and made sure everybody got to and from the dinner, and they made to-go plates home with them.
And they met him at the door, and they brought him in, and they set him, and it was really nice.
Talk about this one.
Yes. Yeah, go for it.
So last year I got a grant through the Wyoming Game and Fish and Trout Unlimited for the materials for raising, hatching, and rearing some rainbow trout. So at the end of the haul, we had a huge aquarium full of, we started with like 250 eggs, and we watched them grow for several months. And so I was working with my elementary kids and my middle school kids on abiotic factors, biotic factors, ecosystems, life cycles, that type of stuff. Cassie brought in like a history component, and Natalie went really place-based, and they looked at local places. They did some research on local fisheries, and kids made a presentation about that, and Kelly did some poetry. And then we took them out to release these fish, and they got to talk with a biologist, and then we took them over to Tensleep because many of them had been to Story, but many of them had not been at the rearing station or the fish hatchery in Tensleep, and it is a little more student-friendly. You can walk in and around. So they had some great career exposure opportunities. I can talk about this one. So we wanted to get, like, we've all dabbled in PBL for a long time, but we
needed some more learning. So we wrote a grant to fund for teachers, which was amazing, and they fully funded our grant. And we got to go to Napa in June. Yeah, it was very fun. And probably the best professional development I've ever been to. It was just cool because there were like 1,500 teachers, all so passionate about kids in particular. Not just the learning, not just the curriculum, but like kids. Like, what can we do for kids? And so that was just amazing. But there were some questions that we got answered. We did a lot of networking. We got some unit planning tools. And kind of like the big takeaways, the first day was sort of amazing. And it was just about like every child is a genius. Every child knows something that we don't know. Every child has so much in them that they know already. So we don't have to like implement all of these. You know, they don't have to get smarter. They already know a ton. It's about taking what they know and pushing it out. So that was cool. We learned a lot about entry events, projects, and to have joy in your teaching. Teaching should be joyful. School should be joyful. It doesn't have to be drudgery. It shouldn't be drudgery. It should be fun at every level. And so it kind of reinforced some of our beliefs that we already had about teaching and learning. We learned a lot about incorporating grades in PBL. Yeah, I could go on and on, but I won't.
Sure. So from that, when we were there, we had an opportunity with all those people. They still broke us into groups of like 15 teachers from all around the world. We all got to work together, and we got to write unit plans. So Tristan and I wrote ours over executive functioning because we already started that in the middle school. So we took that and made it into a project-based learning, and we're implementing that now. And in the end, kids will be, their project is they're going to be writing a survival guidebook for middle school to pass down to fifth graders, and they'll bring that up as they come into middle school. So that's one of the things we have going right at the moment. And then Natalie's got a few things going. She's got the photo essay and the Shark Tank coming up. And vacation planning, they're doing that.
Well, that's mostly Natalie's project, but while we were working on our unit plans in California, I was like, oh, I can help that with that too. So she's got something going. I'm doing like brain function and different elements with that, and tying in not just science but computer science with that to help support these kids and give them background information that they can then use for Natalie's final project.
And we're really trying to do all of our PBL cross-curricular with math, social studies, ELA, science. We're trying to do it since we're all together all the time. We are really working hard. And then this summer, Victoria and I found another grant.
Yay.
This summer that we got to do. Why am I going? Like, PBS,
yes.
Wyoming PBS. They were given a grant, a $5,000 grant, to go dig fossils over by Kemmer, and we received that. So that's awesome. We will be doing another cross-curricular project with fossils and taking that money, and the kids will be able to go to Kimmer and spend the night and have everything paid, and they get to do that. And we just have lots of ideas we're going to start implementing to make learning more real and life experiences. Like, they're always saying, well, why do we need to learn this? We're never going to learn it, but now they're going to use it.
And for them to understand the crossover.
Yes.
That we just teach things in the classroom, and the longer I teach, the more I see that they need to be outside, actually physically touching things and building things and making those real world connections.
This has nothing to do with middle school, but
Can you just give a few words on your wonderful trip that how many kids did you take?
Oh, to Europe. Yes.
I mean, that was...
Yes, that was very cool.
I went vicariously through Facebook.
I think that we took 12 kids and some parents and my mom, because she goes everywhere. But, yeah, it was amazing. It was 14 days, Switzerland, Italy, and France, and it was just like a whirlwind of cool stuff. Yeah, we have an upcoming meeting for Costa Rica and Panama that we'll be doing that in 2026. So, yeah, it was amazing.
Were they all high school kids?
Nope, some middle, some high.
Okay, so you took middle school kids.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yep.
Awesome. They learned a lot about themselves.
Yeah,
they sure did.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairman,
please.
Mr. Evans, I want to give you kudos. And I see where you have 16 more kids enrolled in school.
15 kinders.
Does that have anything to do with pre-kindergarten? Is that what you call that?
I think the kinder boost helps ease their
Does that count towards your enrollment?
Yeah.
It does. Okay.
Yep. I think that kinder boost helps with that.
Okay. So not new families, just...
No. Well, we have a couple new families.
Younger kids.
In that kindergarten group, we do have a couple new families that have moved into the area. So, if you look at the enrollment for our district, I'm actually excited about our school. We went from 98 students at the end of the year to 112 and three quarters, I think. So I don't know how you
get the three quarters.
Hey, we'll take them. So we're up 14.
That's great. Charles, question for you then is this Kinder Boost, is it 2 or 3 days a week?
Two days a week.
So how do you get reimbursed for the state for that? Because
we're not getting reimbursed. I think there's a misunderstanding.
I can
you said, Jake, that they're not counted towards our ADM.
Those are not counted in
here. No. So okay. Jake, that is not counted for reimbursement. So those are separate, but those kids in that program that come in as kindergartners.
Yeah.
So we funded that through, well, I'll just let Jake talk about it.
Okay, so last year we funded it through title funds. This year title funds have taken a hit. We're at about 80% of our budget from the previous year. And so we had to find a way to fund it in a different realm, and we used the Y built to take care of it for this coming year. So that the board is aware, the Y built is not funded going forward, because the state of Wyoming did not receive the Y-Built grant, or the built grant. So we will be looking for other ways to keep that program growing. I talked to Dr. Miller about it, and I think there's some opportunities available that we might be able to keep that moving through grants and not out of the general budget. Understand that my 112 student number, that is ADM students. That's not counting Kinder Boost.
Sure, that's what I wanted to know. Thank
and
you.
Kinder Boost starts... on the first Monday after September 12th, and it's 2 days a week to start with, and then towards the middle of November, we go to 4 days a week.
No. Anything else? Mort?
Mr. Chair.
Please, Mort.
Is Gabe here tonight?
He is not. There was events scheduled at Buffalo High School, so I excused him.
Okay.
Not to be here.
Well, all I wanted to say was I've heard about the lunch... The seconds video that you talked about, and I've heard students calling it detention. I hope we can change that word to intervention because that's what we're going for, but it is helping, and I've heard lots of good things about that from parents. So good job, Gib. And then Mr. Glassick.
Yes, ma'am.
Between the stalls. Has that always been there? Is that new?
No, this is new.
Awesome.
Kelly Glockin is starting this. Yeah. She's doing this with the high school, and she brought it into the middle school. And I'm like, okay.
I like it.
We're making sure it's a middle school program.
I like
obviously.
It.
And good health information and simple things for kids to know about sleep, how to eat, doing the best they can through the school day. So
yeah.
Doing some fun things with that.
That is awesome, and I've heard so many kids say how awesome you're being up there, so thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Mr. Chair, is Dr. Hansen here?
No, he's not.
Okay, so Everything going good at school, Charles?
Yeah.
With the bathrooms and all that, the remodel?
The bathrooms are functional and school is rolling.
Okay. So the week that was missed, will that have to be made? And
no, because there's a state statute that allows us not to because of its construction out of our control. So we've submitted a letter, so they should be okay. Heidi, I have to rewrite the one letter, but we're fine. So, okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Please.
I saw under Buffalo's report, and I don't know more about it, but just that the Wright Road has been canceled for this year.
It has.
And that's a huge loss. I mean, I think that's I also realize the amount of work that goes into it is astronomical, but I hope we'll see that again. I think it's good stuff.
Well, Mr. Chair,
please.
You know, Admin, thank you so much for your being creative with some of your reports. I love the little kids.
Yes.
The little people in them. Like that when you show us around the schools. And I appreciate that.
The KC Greeter team was awful fun, too.
Yes.
All right. Pretty good.
And I'd just like to ask, does any of the admin want to say anything about your first week? Got some I never thought of that? That's okay. I'm just always like to open it up so somebody goes, oh, I should have said that. So, thank you.
All right. Anything else from the principals? Ops team. Anybody got questions for ops?
So, as a clarification, it's operations teams. It's our directors. So that would be technology, since it's a new phrase, facilities, food service. So any questions for any of them?
Mr. Chair. John, where'd you go? So they had a break at the city, it said, the raw water line, and so now we're blowing the systems out and stuff. How long do we normally run the water, sprinkle the fields?
We try to go through the end of September. Some years are better than others, but we got to pick a date. The grass will quit growing, and so it's usually the end of September or October 15th. We try to shoot for.
So you don't feel like we don't have any detrimental effects on the grass? That's what I'm hoping for.
There
I know it's going to quit growing
when
it frosts.
If I can't water it, I can't water it.
So did they get it fixed?
No.
No.
It's
still what it states in there. They're not going to fix it. In my board report, they're not going to fix the water line, so we're done for the season. We're at the mercy of the city on that water. Okay. It's just like we're at the mercy of ditch water and kind of on a ranch. If water ain't coming off the hill, you ain't getting it.
That's right.
And that's where we're at.
Don't you get your water from the same one that goes to the cross age and rules?
No.
They
did. No, rules is ditch, and then we're on Carlisle Lobin Ditch for the high school. The only school that's affected will be Bandit Field to Cloud Peak.
Okay.
We're still watering the high school until we run out of water in the ditch.
Okay. So. Other questions? Hearing none. District level at district admin reports.
Oh, wait.
Sorry.
Nope. Yep. I'm sorry. I thought you were asking for John. I apologize.
Sorry, go ahead.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I apologize.
It's okay.
We're still on any of the operations.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. I would just like to address the transportation concerns that we have here tonight. I just want, the board docs is open, and we've got Mr. Bill, I thought I could think of Mr. McKenzie. Thank you. Has a really good section of the route analysis for Buffalo and KC. And while I just, that's what I'm able to look at and able to understand, you can also go in and look under our superintendent's report. And there's the process and the procedure of how they come to the decisions that they do. And so I would just encourage anybody to really look those over and examine, I would imagine, Bill, there's give and take due to multiple circumstances, but I think it would behoove majority of us to kind of pay attention to that and go in and look and go into that superintendent report as well. And there's some, would you, Ms. Drosky, would you like to say anything on that that you have in your board report with that?
Well, when we get to the superintendent's report, there's
okay.
several things I'll bring up to speak
okay.
on.
Okay, perfect. Does Bill, did you have anything to add to that?
Well, first of all, I thank you for noticing that, and I do encourage people to look at it because we did spend an awful lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
There is quite a bit of data there. We're still actually amassing data for the beginning of this school year, because
mm-hmm.
you'll notice that data was from last year. And we have, first of all, the first 3 weeks of some interesting data as well that we're comparing with that. We're looking at efficiencies across the entire district in our different bus routes. I would like to say that, you know, the limiting resources, the human factor, and as well, there are several routes that we're still not able to even field at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So please, take a chance, look at that, and if you have any questions, you can please reach out to me. I'd love to visit with you about it.
Thanks, Bill.
Anything else? Okay, we're at admins. Mr. Super, if you've got anything you need to...
All right, well, we had a super exciting start to the school year. Lots of things going on. I want to do kudos to the ops team, so even going through facilities, a lot of people worked pretty hard with some of the delays. We actually had John's team and maintenance crew, cleaning crews in on Saturdays and Sundays to get that to where it needed to be in that place. We're still waiting on a few things. The dividers. So those are all, but everything's functional as far as we goes with that. Nutritional services, Ricky, knock on wood, things seem to be, even with the last minute resignation, we've been able to provide services throughout the district with food service. Technology, again, great feedback with all the work they've done this summer. A lot of positive feedback there. And I've been gone for a couple days, but from the lightning strike that we had on Wednesday, we started getting our building services back up. And so John and technology department's been working hard with that. And then again, transportation we've got the kids there. We've had a few little hiccups, but Bill's been able to work those out with that. Special ed, that'll be another one, but... Mr. Anderson has done a great job implementing the new strategic special ed initiative. As far as we move forward with that, him and I are traveling to Cheyenne tomorrow for 3 days to learn more about where we're headed with that piece. So, and in addition to that, if you had those videos up at the very beginning, if you had an opportunity to watch those, I'm not going to go into those in great detail, but that's a lot of what the kickoff was about. You know, how do we do hard better? And we have a responsibility. Mentoring is a huge thing, but modeling. So modeling what we're doing. But with that, I'm excited. With the start of the school year, especially with the big challenges we had within 2 weeks of school starting and the day before, we actually pulled it off. So the trainings that we've done professional development-wise with Mitch... and with our guest speaker and with Don Julian, I would say that it's some of the best training we've in the state of Wyoming. What he's doing with PLCs and curriculum work and assessment work is an ongoing thing, but we're aligning what we're doing. We're bringing what you were requesting as a board to the table for the entire year, and we're moving some things in the right direction. So I thought it was a great start to a great year with some PD. And just with kids, I think the energy level was pretty high throughout the start of the school year. So, again, we're not perfect, but we're rolling. Fair?
Anybody got anything else for the district admin level?
Sure, Mr. Chair. Mr. Miller, we had a great presentation from Wyoming Ag in a classroom. And so I know you've no doubt watched that. So I hope we can implement some of that into our learning in the schools and stuff. I think it's really important where ag is still the number one economy driver in Johnson County. And so
it's very important. Also,
It's not mandated, so we're going to try to cross, you know, if it lines up with the curriculum standards with our curriculum, of course, we're going to do that. It's, according to Mr. Anderson, fourth grade's a little bit more heavy there. With that ag in the classroom, it fits really well. But, of course, if it's a resource that we can utilize in the classroom, we're definitely going to do that.
And I know you've got a few teachers that do it presently, and if I listed them, I'd probably leave somebody else on there.
Right.
So, anyhow, thanks.
Anything else, Jamie?
Mr. Chair?
Please.
Ms. Grossi, you said you were going to say some things about the transportation. Do you want to?
I can say we've met with parents. We've had several conversations. We're still in the process of that. I think it's been a great process. It's open communication. So I apologize, Jan. We still got some things on the table. So we listed some things out. I think it's been very open communication. It's not something that's been swept under the carpet. I do know, without going into any details, there's been meetings with parents and having conversations about what that comes down to. Everything that they listed is real, I'm not saying. But I have to also say, we're also limited to what we can and can't do with salaries, benefits, and those type of things, because I do have 240-plus employees that I think we've done a really good job of trying to be very consistent with how we provide services to everybody. And, you know, the funding is not going to increase. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be straightforward. Jake's probably the only school that's seen any increase in ADM. District-wide, we're down close to 30 students. So that's going to impact us. So I can't look at just this year. I have to look at what we're doing for the next 3 to 4 years as we look at that. I've been very transparent with you as a Board of Trustees that there's a bubble of kids coming up through that we could be as a district below a certain number that we've never seen before, just due to the demographics and the number of kids coming in. So I think we've done as much as we can, but we haven't stopped it because I've encouraged Bill to work with Jake and with Mr. Anderson to meet some of those needs with those kids in busing. So
it's still an ongoing thing. It's not something that's final.
Remember, the bus routes you just approved tonight are the routes. It's not necessarily the schedule. So you're approving the route. So, and what that trickle-down effect is, what that wave looks like, that ripple effect, when we do some things, and those are all points that are definitely being taken into consideration.
Mr. Chair, Charles, could you, the Arnold family came tonight, could you kind of tell us where we're at with the soccer coach?
Well, when I get back to my office and I look it up, I will let you know.
Okay.
And I just want to be transparent. Those are things that are not at my level with everything we're dealing with, so I'm going to go back and I will question BHS administration and their athletic director with where they are in the hiring process. I did not come prepared for that tonight, but however, the next chain, the AD is the principal and where they're at with the process and how they communicate that. You heard that with Kaylin communication last week. That's part of the communication improvement plan. So it's not, again, it's not something that's being swept under the carpet. It's been taken very very serious on my part. That's why we did a communication audit and how we need to improve things. But, Dave, as soon as I know more, I will definitely let you as a Board of Trustees know.
Fair enough. Mr. Chair, if I can ask, who did coach the soccer? Who took the kids to camps this summer?
Nobody. We still don't know if there's a program.
So there is a program. I can answer that here
tonight. The boys had the opportunity to go to camp, but the girls had nothing.
Well, I can tell you the girls have not ever went on a camp together in several years.
Because they've had coaches. I mean, we've lost coaches over the last 2 to 3 years.
And
we haven't had consistency.
And I get that, but they don't usually take the girls. It's up to the girls to go on camps that they give them information on. That's typically how it's been.
Right, but why do the boys get something and then the girls don't?
I get it. I have a
daughter. Yeah, hold on, gang. We've got an agenda.
I'm just saying, they typically don't.
So ideally you would hire a coach that, you know, has those aspirations to take the team and get some success and grow them as a team. I mean, ideally you want the program to start at a young age.
Yes,
right?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
That's all right. Anything else on district level reports from the board? Next up, board level reports. We got board level reports I need to share.
Mr. Chair,
please.
I would just like to report, last week, Travis, Dan, and I attended the fall roundup
It's, I think it's my third year attending it. It's really cool. The WSDA comes in, Brian Farmer and his Julie Kassir, she's member of services. But they come down and they present a presentation. We get to see like the a lot of the state numbers. The Crate Report comes out. That's something that's pretty interesting to see. The hat, it's kind of a lot to take in. You get to see different numbers, different sizes of school districts within the state, how they're funded, the funding. One thing that I think sometimes a lot of people get confused is that we're funded by the number of kids that we have. It's an average daily membership, and there's it's each school that's takes those numbers, and so we get to see those numbers throughout the state. You can go to huge graph. There's a bunch of team building things that we do. It's the whole region, so it's Crook, Weston, Campbell, Johnson, Sheridan 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
Who am I forgetting?
I think that's
Is that it? And so we all come together as board members and get to talk about real things that we're going through. Real numbers, real dollars. They're there, that are not there, and it's hard, but it's a great time, and it's great to hear other things that other districts are doing, that we get some ideas of maybe things that we could do better. We give ideas of things that we can, that we're doing, that maybe help others do better, and it's one of the neatest things that I attend, and so, yeah,
I call it like the State of the Union.
It is
the State of the State of the School Board across the nation. I mean, Brian gets up and just says, "This is the State of the Union. This is the state of our where our school boards are, how they are functioning."
We're the largest elected entity in the state. I believe it's 368. Am I right about that? It was 360 something. So school boards are the largest elected entity in the state. Boards varying from, you know, 5, 7, 9. I think 9 is the largest. But, yeah, it's interesting. I would encourage every board member to try and attend every fall.
Thank you. Any other board double reports? Okay. Next up, other business from the board.
Jan, did BOCES meet?
BOCES met. Oh. Be honest, it was just a flat out, let's pay the bills. This month should be a little bit more interesting, but it was very short. And they want to be able to pay the bills.
Right.
And Taylor will give more of an explanation on how school has started for them and how their staffing is going. And so I'm looking forward to the meeting. I think it's always the Thursday after our board meeting, or this last Thursday of the month. So I'll have more to report next time. But it's just a regular
board session.
Let's pay the bills.
Anybody else? All right. Okay, next up, from the board. Anybody got anything they need to bring? Kristen, please.
We've heard a couple times tonight about the difficulty in getting applicants for various positions and the fear and unsettledness that it causes when you haven't heard any news about a soccer coach or bus drivers. We felt that pinch too, as the school year was coming up quickly, and we had some pretty core teaching positions that weren't filled, or you think they're filled and you find out they're not. I know, especially on the athletic side, beginning of last year, the state was down like 150 some referees.
Yeah.
I don't know what the number is this year. I imagine it's the same, if not worse. Part of the problem is people aging out, retiring, the same people that have done the same things for a long time. However, you notice nationwide, the shortage and the turnover rate in education right now is massive. I mean, already there was a high rate of teachers that didn't stay past 5 years. 65% of teachers in Wyoming would quit right now if they could. So I think we have a lot of things at play, and one of them, I'm not saying to put things under the rug or to not expect excellence, but I think the kindness factor would go a long way from all of us to our our school officials. It's not easy to get coaches right now. People are not, they're not easy on them. They're really not. It's really hard, and I know I could never do it for, they probably spend during the year at times more time with our kids than we get to see our kids. And I think as a community, as a state, possibly a nation, I think we've become really unkind to the people that are with our kids. And it's, I wish I knew the answer on how to recruit and how to retain. We know something is going wrong, but maybe that would go a long ways too. And like I said, and I don't mean, you know, lower our expectations. It's great to expect wonderful, good things because they're taking care of our kids. But yeah, we can't keep people if we can even get them to apply for positions like that anymore. And I get it.
So just as an FYI, there was a volleyball tournament that was canceled this weekend in a very large district, one of the largest district in the state of Wyoming, because they couldn't get enough referees. So the first weekend out, there's already been a tournament canceled because they couldn't get referees.
But I would also like to add to that that I think that we have tried to get retention by the incentive pay that we have. I think what Sheridan 1 is able to do, or Sheridan 2, giving apartments at NSI. And I thought that was kind of interesting. But I think this district understands and is trying. You know, with our coaches, how that's going. I mean, when we wanted to take them everywhere, we don't pay our coaches anything in the summertime to take our kids anywhere. They're doing that all on their own. But it's an expectation when we hire somebody. You know, one of the first questions, you know, are you going to take them to camp? Well, it is an expectation, but we don't pay them.
Yeah. Well, we're taking steps that we can. We brought in expert marketers to help us get the word out and try to increase applications. We're taking it serious, but...
So because we're in KC, I think we have to acknowledge Sandy Bob Forbes, the head coach at Casper College. For real.
But we're doing some, I mean,
KC native, yep.
Yeah,
it's great.
Doing some great things around.
I think there's lots of good stuff happening. I think it's, and another thing we heard tonight too was on communication and advertising. And I mean, I really thought we were doing good on it, you know, but we've heard twice it's not working or it's not easy to find. So, I mean, that's valuable information to run with, and if it's
not
working,
again, it's part
different.
Of what Kaylin presented last week. What are some different avenues to advertise and where we're at with that?
Sometimes you think something's going a lot better than it is.
And I would say all of what we said, it's still a positive. We have more good things happening in our schools and athletics than negatives.
Absolutely.
We live in a great community.
There's a lot going on now for a lot of people.
Anything else from the board?
Mr. Chair?
Please.
My only one thing is that anyone here, if you haven't listened to or read The Anxious Generation like we talked about, and I know I mentioned this at the work session too, but it's worth the time, I think, for anybody, all parents, all of us. I mean, our minds are getting rewired by our phones and technology, and it's very interesting, and it makes you wake up yourself, say, wow, yep, maybe I have a problem too.
I just realized the irony in the fact that I was about to tell everyone it's pretty cheap on Kindle. Get the heart
back. Anything else, Kate? All right, next up, October 9th, special work session, where we will have a chance for public comment.
So, Mr. Chair,
yes.
Is there a way that we can, every time we put the word special in there, everybody, their ears go up.
Yes.
A special session. Is there any way that we can change the wording on that? I mean, or legally are we bound to that? I don't know. It's not called an emergency session. It's not.
No, and that's
it's not anything bad that's going to be happening.
It's our work session. We just learned a new name. We can call it whatever we want. They told us that at the training number. You can call it whatever you want. It's still a special meeting, but.
And I do hope that we keep it as we have as a learning time.
That's our total goal.
Because I hope we don't slide that into another board meeting and voting or any of that kind of stuff. That is just our time of the presentations that we had last week. I thought were really good.
To learn what's going on.
Yeah.
And then research it if we need to.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's good to let the community know. If, you know, I heard before board meetings are kind of a snooze. Because they are. They're a business meeting. We've already gone over all the details. So you're making a motion and you're passing or you're not passing. But the work sessions / special meetings are absolutely public too. And that's where you can gain the most information as a community too. Where we'll discuss those policies in great detail and debate things back and forth. So that you're not just hearing the motion in a second.
And it also gives the board a chance to have a whole week to go over that information that you guys bring to us.
So. To do our research so we know the right answers when we get questions like that. All right, everybody good? October 9th, work session. All right, October 14th, board meeting. Good to go. Board docs update.
Hi, so, Charles. Travis is a just as the chairman of the board, just to understand that those two that you just talked about, the work session, which is this really a special session meeting, and the board meeting, those agendas are developed through you and I, through the Board of Trustees over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay? Which are notes that we have too.
Yeah, you'll see some right here. Board docs update. We talked a little bit about this at the work session. It got bought out by a bigger company, so I'm sure we'll see some changes. And no doubt require lots of training. Sorry.
So I guess this was our point to just let you know that over the next couple months, there's a potential of change. Those of you that see it as board docs, it could change with time. And we're going to be proactive. We're not going to wait till the last minute when it no longer exists or won't support us. So there's a transition that, being that this is bought out, so I would predict by the end of the year we'll probably be in a have a new look to an old system. Is that a fair way of saying it?
Yes.
A new name and a more modern system. Because you guys are super excited about taking that.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, there's a quiz at the moment. All right.
Travis, I have a question. And I think this is fair, and I can ask this. But so we want to put the public comment. Those of you that commented in the public session, do you guys have a preference? It's at the beginning of the meeting or the end of the meeting?
Because then it's been revisited along the way.
Yeah,
a couple times. That's helpful. Yeah. Or if it was at the end, then I feel like that would be that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So with that is where I feel that if you would come to the work session and do that, then we do really have a lot more time to hash it out, because sometimes we're surprised, but obviously.
Sure.
Like, I didn't know we didn't have a soccer coach.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
That was news to me as well.
Yeah.
We didn't know about the work session.
No, that's not true. Yeah. It's public. And they're always the Wednesday before the regular meeting.
Yeah.
And they're told me. They're the campus.
We may need to retrain the public, because in the past it was always said, "Oh, it's a work session, so you don't need to go to that."
Mm-hmm. Well,
just
we
say,
didn't.
You're
going
to have to let that, and you're going to have to kind of retrain the public.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do.
Mr.
Chairman, I would like to iterate that we want to keep it as a work session. We don't want to be a regular board meeting, because we need to present this in a more formal setting. And I like that we had great dialogue, I thought, at the last
absolutely
work session. I thought we had it was 3 hours long.
Yes, it took a while.
But I thought we had great dialogue. We disagreed with each other, but we, said, there were times I went, oh, I never thought that.
We still rode the bus home together.
That's right.
Yeah.
But we put you in the back, but that's
okay. Yeah, but that's going.
But, so I hope we don't lose that
for the work session.
No, I agree. That's the important part.
I will say, though, that I think it is great for our public to get on and rewatch the work sessions, because those are all recorded, because those are sometimes the nuts and bolts of what...
I don't think
oh,
it's
they
here.
Are not. They are not recording them.
They are not. Just this.
Well, then come. Be present.
But let me add to the conversation that was just had here. It is a retraining. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the reason we had the training is because we hadn't been doing it right. Okay?
Gotcha.
So it wasn't just us. We brought in all the other boards from Sheridan. Sheridan College attended that piece.
Yeah.
So part of that piece is not just because we want change.
Right.
But it was brought to our attention, this is a special meeting. It's not just a work session. So traditionally in the state of Wyoming, I've been calling them work sessions for the last 30 years. However, now that we know what we're supposed to be doing, it's about educating the community on what it is. And you as a board are committed to it just being a work session, but we have to outline it. You've committed to no action items, but it still means you can have public comment. And you can keep it to that intent of having the knowledge you need to make decisions on Monday, because our jobs depend sometimes on what happens on a Monday night.
Good.
To put it off for another month or to do some things, that's kind of that communication piece. You know as well as I do that I can overwhelm you with all the decisions that have to be made. So in between, when those action items come to the table, tomorrow's not going to be a free day. Tomorrow's going to be, okay, what's the next step? How do we move forward with that? Warrants and vouchers and payments and all those things continue in motion. So as we prioritize those, I think your commitment still is, like Jan just said, this is a work session. We're just now following the rules we're supposed to follow on how we read it. But the community and the stakeholders need to know what that looks like. So we are into this pretty, I want to say, young.
Yeah.
Even though we don't feel young, we are into this new process, and so communicating that with them about what it looks like is all about that communication plan that we need to improve on over the year, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they've said here tonight, you heard it last Wednesday, right?
Yes.
I've said this is what we need to work on, but now we actually have an audit, the third-party company that says this is real, so now how do we change that? So that's part of that process, yep.
Mr. Chair, I want to make one last comment. Connie?
Yes.
With the lightning strike, you said you didn't know if you were going to get the warrants to us. And
They are there.
They are there,
yes.
And they're very detailed.
Yes.
And I
yes.
saw your car there again when I was playing golf on Sunday. You're now parking in the back, so you don't think I see
well,
you, but I do.
But just thank you to Christy and her team. They and John... It was amazing how hard they work. When we got back late from Wednesday night meeting, they were still there. They didn't go home till 11.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to them. And if it wasn't for them, we would not have gotten it done.
Still
so.
Be done. Yes, thank
yeah.
you. Guys.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I want to say we're glad to be here. That thing was 10 feet, 8 feet behind us where it struck and where it came through. So this was... Not only did they have the technology going, we have every administrator in the room where the lightning struck.
Oh,
I want to be honest.
Would that be a sign?
What?
So, and when this didn't come down and just go bang, okay, it came down and shook the whole building. There was smoke. There was a whole nine yards. So just so you know, there was a lot of work put in by a lot of people to get here to where we are today. It just wasn't a little strike that hit a tree. There are lots of things that happened in that short period of time. The fact is we even showed up for a work session that same day is quite remarkable.
Everyone should have got to just go home. Cry a little bit.
So hopefully by the work session we'll have a list of what we have to replace and the direction we're going to go.
Starting with the admin building and working down from there.
Well, it's going to be an insurance
no
claim. Just telling you right now, we're well above our $5,000 deductible by the
yes.
time we get through this.
The switches will do that.
And the state's going to possibly help support us. Connie and I reached out to the state. Matter of fact, they're going to be here Wednesday, right, Connie?
Mm-hmm.
We can kind of let them put eyes on it to help us out because they said they want to help us out.
Good.
The more we dig, the more we find.
Yeah. All right, anything else?
I hope that the water fountain still works.
good. The popcorn machine survived. We'll be okay. All right, last thing's up, executive session.
I make a motion to move into executive session per Wyoming Statute 16-4-405 for legal matters.
Second. A-I-I. Motion and a second. Discussion.
Thank you, everyone.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Thank you all.
All opposed, same side.
Thank you.
Do you need a short break before we get...
This audio was brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.